Hi, everybody. This is Phil Hendry, and I'm going to restart a bit that I tried to start up last hour, and that is to call my home and talk to one of my kids on the air so you can see that I'm a regular guy, a very relatable guy. Now I'm going to go over here to line one. Let me hear the dial tone. Okay, and now I'm going to dial it. And I'm dialing right now. And let's see what happens. Are you getting a ringing sound there, Craig, anytime soon? It's connecting. There we go. Okay, let's see what we got here. Calling my house to talk to one of the kids, hopefully the little girl. And they're on Nintendo. They're playing Myth. They're doing, it's just ringing and ringing and ringing.
Hello, this is Catherine.
Hey, hon, it's me. It's Philip.
Hi, Philip.
How you doing, hon?
Good.
What are you doing?
Talking to Mom.
Well, I just called you because you called and you wanted me to call.
You already called me.
I know I already called you. I just don't... I did?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, how's everything going? Are you playing with your dolls or anything?
No, I'm doing my homework.
You're doing your homework?
Yeah.
Oh, swell. What do you take in school these days? Okay, is Mommy on the other line? Okay, well, that's really nice. Are you in brownies? Brownies are sweet, aren't they? Okay, doll. What's the matter? Is your cough going better? What's Mom want?
Nothing.
Oh, you're just talking? You're just having... Do you have a boyfriend yet?
No.
Okay, gotta get going. Great talking to you. Bye, Catherine. Bye.
Bye.
Isn't it cute? Well, that's what I come home to every night at my house. She's really a doll. She's talking to her mom on the other line. You can tell she's getting over a cold. And 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. It's just kind of fun to do stuff like that. I'm glad you joined me for it. Let's go over to Chatsworth. Hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello. Yes.
Mr. Henry?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I just heard what you did. You were talking to, your kid?
Yeah.
I wanted to make this statement, and I think I speak for a lot of listeners right now when I say that we feel manipulated by that. You're trying to sound like the family man.
Well, I mean, I was just talking to my kid.
No, don't do that, okay? Not just talking to your kid. You made a point of calling your cute little daughter, putting her on the air, and basically manipulating all of us into thinking you're a great guy. Isn't that what you did?
Sir, I called my...
No, please have the courage to be honest for just one moment in your three-hour array and parade of bullcrap. Have the courage to be honest for just one moment. Didn't you just now call your kid...
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Chatsworth. What's that possibly got to do with anything? Why did you did that to interrupt my train of thought? Is that it?
No, I don't understand why you can't allow me to...
Please. You can call your freaking kid anytime you want. What are you calling her up on the air for?
Because I wanted to... You know,
you wanted everybody to think you're a great family man, and isn't your kid cute? And if children love you, why wouldn't you love him? And, that kind of thing. And what I'm saying, Mr. Henry, is we feel manipulated by that.
Explain manipulated. All I wanted to do was to make sure...
Look, if you keep on doing this, I'm going... Okay, this is now officially a death threat. Oh, do you understand what I'm...
What does that mean?
I am now officially threatening your life. This is now. Go ahead. You can report me to whoever, but I feel that I...
Well, sir, I wanted to talk...
Yeah. Just shut up. Just shut up. Does it make you feel like a big man to throw your family up in my face, huh?
Look, I'm not trying to throw my family up in your face. I
Yeah, you just wanted to put the little girl on the air to make it sound like you got this big, wonderful, warm family. You manipulated us. You audibly molested me. Now, let me tell you something, sir.
I didn't do anything of the sort, and I resent you using terminology like that.
Have you been drinking? I just heard your terminology like that. Look, my point is this, Mr. Hendry. I'm sterile, okay? Do you understand?
Look, sir, the whole thing...
No. Listen, I'm sterile. Do you know what that means?
I'm sorry?
I'm sterile. I'm sterile. I'm a married man, but I'm sterile. I can't have children.
Okay, so...
So every time you talk about your kids, and every time you're on the air talking about your family, you might as well be urinating in my mouth. Do you understand?
Jesus, but look at...
Yeah, are you going to tell me again all you were trying to do is look at every time you talk about your kids to a sterile man, you might as well be slapping me across the face with one of your body parts. And notice I didn't specify which one. And
no, I know what your call is all about, okay? Your call is to call up in the middle of having just talked to my kid and make me feel bad about it.
I'm calling up and speaking for millions of people when I say we are tired of you guys that put your family members on the air. We're tired of you. We're tired of all these other guys that put their wives on the air, put their mothers on the air, put their kids on the air, put their fathers on the air, put their nephews on the air. We are sick as an audience en masse of hearing you and your family members have the courage to do a radio show without relying on the pure innocence, on the naivete and the surprise of a 9-year-old child. Have that kind of courage, Mr. Hendry, and I'd be happy, joyous to listen to your program. But as long as you try to put your hand auditorially down my pants with things like that, I feel wronged. And that's what I was trying to say while you were trying to interrupt me with your, oh, I was just trying to talk to my kid, and I didn't know I was on the air. You are such a liar, and you are such a pure and wonderful symbol of the business you work in, the business of lies and propaganda. Okay, what?
Well, I mean...
What?
Well, what am I supposed to say? I mean, you're right.
Then I am right.
Yes, okay, you're right. You're right. I did that. I called up my family member and I put her on the air.
You're breathing as heavy as me.
Yeah, I am. I called up a family member. I put her on the air to, I guess, to make myself look like a big shot.
There you go. There you go.
Okay, I admit it.
Called up, put her on the air. Use that little girl to make yourself look like the big family man, didn't you? Didn't you?
Yes, I did.
What a piece of crap. You know what? I'll hang with your show for a few more minutes, man, but you sicken me. Goodbye.
But, sir, the only thing that... There he goes. Well, Oh, okay. A little bit after the hour. And I'm going to go to the bathroom right now. And I'll be right back on the Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show. Hi, I'm Phil Hendry. We are going to be talking a little bit about rolling blackouts toward the bottom of the hour, but I wanted to just sort of answer a few letters, and I don't really read fan mail, nor do I read... Now, first of all, I call it listener mail. I don't call it fan mail, and we get a little bit of it, and we generally throw it in the garbage. For those of you who are new to our show, you need to know that listener mail is not treated with any respect on this program, and it is not meant as any disrespect to you. It's that we believe fervently that people who write to radio personalities... You know, it's one thing if you write a letter to Robert De Niro. When are you ever going to meet him or talk to him? So if you want to write a letter to Russell Crowe, you got to negotiate this thicket of FBI agents these days to even get near that guy, and understandably, because the man's had threats. But a radio personality, you can pick up the phone and call anytime. You could come out to one of our personal appearances. Writing fan mail to people on the radio is borders on sad, disturbing, borderline personality, sociopathic, psychotic. I'm not sure. I don't know which word really applies. But it's very, very disturbing and very wrong. It just is. Same thing with TV people. Like, somebody writing a fan letter to a weather guy or a news anchor. It's the kind of thing that makes me want to check out of this world early. You know, it's the kind of thing that if I think too long and too hard about it, I go home, I throw my head into my hands, the blackness begins to descend, and I want to end it all. That's what happens, because find a life, I think, is the phrase I'm looking for. Melissa is just sending me a message. This is interesting. Some guy who interviewed with me for the job that Melissa now has, Melissa's our associate producer and writer, he sent her a 2-page letter telling her how much better he would have done than she. So, in other words, he's one of these guys that makes dirty phone calls to women, Melissa. You have to understand, anybody who writes a letter, an angry letter, is a powerless person. They are a powerless, powerless person, and the only way they feel they can lash out at the world is through these sort of long-distance letters or anonymous phone calls. And, you know, they say that people who work in these bucket shops, these phone rooms, these places where they do a lot of call-outs to try to sell things, they say some of those guys are like, well, they've actually arrested a few of those guys that do that kind of thing for a living as, like, dirty phone callers. Because they're getting a lot of rejection during the day. You know, hi, I'm Billy, and I work for the pen and pencil set company. Would you be interested? Stick it. Click. So the next thing you know, the guy is so angry, he calls up. Hello?
Yeah, I want to take a look at you on your hands and knees, and I want to rub your face and all kinds of lunch meat. And
then they hang up, you know. And occasionally they catch these birds, and that's what these guys do for a living. Anyway, the whole trip with the listener mail sucks. And that's why we don't really read this stuff. But why was I talking about this? Was it going to be about Melissa? Or what was the thing that I was talking to you guys about at the break? Well, no. But, the fact that when I first... See, here's the thing. I want to give a little bit of advice to some people who have asked me. They said, well, Phil, I want to do a talk show. What's it all about? Well, here's what it's all about. And you have to believe this. You must believe this. I was a disc jockey for 15 years. The first 8 years of my life as a disc jockey, I tried to kid myself into believing that I really cared about the music I was playing. First job I ever had in radio, Delta Dawn was in hot rotation. And you learn very quickly how much you despise the very fiber of the not only the music you're playing, but the artists that are doing it. Helen Reddy rapidly became strange to me. How could anybody do this song? How could anyone inflict the world with this, you know? Because I'd hear it every hour. You know, you can't even count that song down, you know? It's like, one, two, one, Delta Dawn, what's that? That's how the song started every hour. And why build it up with a little piano or a saxophone lead in? Vamp it with, how do I got it like at 9 o'clock at night? This is the Phil Henry Show on WBJW Orlando. Delta, da. And so I very rapidly, I began to hate it. By 1980, I hated all music that I played. To this day, I hate popular music. And it's nothing against popular music, but I was scarred. I was horribly scarred by my early days in radio. So I said, you know, I'm more entertaining than any Creedence Clearwater record that's ever been made. Now, maybe I'm not. Maybe in your opinion, the end all. That's not the point. The point is you have to believe it. I'm more entertaining than any replay of Stairway to Heaven. I don't give a crap who you are and what you think. That's what I believe. So I began to work my way toward that eventual end. So here's what I say to you. If you want to get into this end of the business where you become the sole and the primary purveyor of the entertainment, you have to believe that you're every bit even more entertaining than any spandex, pair of spandex shorts that Robert Plant ever slipped into. You are way more entertaining than any Backstreet. You just have to understand that, okay? And if it helps if you got a healthy dislike for music. Popular music as we know it. Now, I'm not talking about my fine friend Craig Taylor and the Radiohead and Smashing Pumpkin CDs that he brings in here. Those are really cool, and Craig is constantly turning me on to his music so I can somehow stay rooted a little bit in the culture. But I've got more poetry in my soul than Lynyrd Skynyrd, okay? I think that this show, and I don't give a crap if you think Freebird's one of the greatest songs that's ever been made. I don't. You see, that's the whole thing. I don't. My wife, she went out and bought a classic rock tape. So we was driving the truck down from Sacramento to L.A. because we were bringing our life back from Sacramento. And she went out and rented a classic rock tape, and she's listening to Freebird. Well, I learned very quickly to hate that song. Within one play, I hated that song. And with every redneck, long-haired jackball that I had to deal with who would come up to me and say, oh, yeah, can you play a little more of Freebird? I even began to loathe it more. Until finally, when the plane crash occurred, killing three members of that band, I silently went outside and sort of skipped gleefully and clapped my hands together so that no one would see me. Because if I'd done that in the view of anybody, I wouldn't be alive today, with good reason. Now, my feeling of Lynyrd Skynyrd has mitigated since then. Street Survivor is one of the greatest rock and roll albums I've ever heard. It's a great album. I love their last album. Everything before that sucked. I don't care how much Jack Daniels they drank. I don't care how many Smith & Wesson 45s they kept in their pants. It doesn't make any difference. They sucked. But Street Survivors became an album that I loved. And unfortunately, they were taken far too soon. There, did I get out of that hole? Screw it. And when you're screwed with Skynyrd fans, you're screwed. These are the kind of guys that throw rocks off of freeway overpasses. These are the kind of brain surgeons that do that stuff. Candlelight vigils at graves, everything. But no, you have to feel that way. You must. Or you have no future. So, to many of my fine friends, and from here in Los Angeles to, San Diego and Charlotte, and all, there's a lot of stations where we are on music stations. And I got to hand it to the programmers who put us on those radio stations, because I know the heat they take. I know the heat they take, especially when we're sort of the first of an effort that they're making toward introducing personality into the radio station. But I don't care. I mean, you guys, you don't dig it because you dig the music. Hey, you know what? Go rent a freaking CD player. Buy all your CD. And I don't give a crap. I got no suggestions for you. Go to another radio station. Quit bothering me. There's some guys that died. I was sad. Stevie Ray Vaughan, Walt Disney. I don't know. I mean, Richard Burton. I feel a real loss when they die. Like, you ever feel a real kind of a personal loss? I felt that way when Walt Disney died, because why not? I've been going to Disneyland since I was 4, and I'll never go again, not after this last trip, but you know what I'm saying. And Stevie Ray Vaughan, I loved his music. And I don't know, who else cracked up in a helicopter crash lately? There's a few. Mike, you got a whole... Mike Schaefer, my producer, has got a veritable encyclopedia of rock stars that have gone out violently. Of course, Kurt Cobain's dirt napping, but I got to tell you, good riddance to bad rubbish on that end. But anyway, nah, I'm kidding. I'm sure he was great. Whatever. What about Kurt Cobain, man? Yes, Craig can't stand him. Dwayne Allman, sorry to see you go, Dwayne. Barry Oakley, what, you know, who? Jimi Hendrix, he was due. Janis Joplin, she was long overdue. And James Morrison, did you think he was going to go out any other way? Why are people shocked? Jim Morrison was found sleeping on somebody's front porch about a month before he croaked. Huh? He was the third of the big triumvirate of guys that croaked out there. And Keith Moon, here's a guy that's throwing his drum kit out of the window of a... These people are going to go, look at music, rock and roll needs to be reborn again. That's what's happening right now with hip-hop. It needed it in the late 60s. That's why the Beatles came along. It needed again in the late 70s. That's why punk came along. And it needs it yet again. That's why we have hip-hop. Because punk turned into crappy new wave, and Elvis's music turned into crappy Fabian music, and the Beatles' music turned into some crap can Rod Stewart crap. So, and the crap that the grunge turned into crap. So we need hip-hop. So just dig it, love it, and don't bother me with it. Phil Henry Show. Thank you. You're listening to The Phil Hendry Show. What the hell happened to that?
Jesus.
There we go. Sorry. What is that? I don't know. It's Welcome to The Phil Hendry Show. It's time for Southern California Lifestyles with Bobby Dooley. This is a segment where the president of the Western Estates Homeowners Association gives you a glimpse into the life and times of Southern Californians. Bobby is with us from her home at Western Estates. And we have here in Southern California and across California rolling blackouts. Our public utilities just ain't getting the job done. Deregulation, who knows? And Bobby, I know that there were a couple of things mentioned at a homeowners meeting that you called. There were three different gated communities called to this homeowners association meeting. Can you tell us a little bit about it? I know you had Western Estates, Canyon Hills, and Vista Verdugo. Is that correct?
That is correct, Phil. Yes. The press release, basically we're not sure. You know, when we talk about rolling blackouts and we talk about the energy crisis in California, I don't know why, you know, these blackouts are happening. I know there's a lot of...
Well, there's deregulation.
But, yeah, my husband knows a lot about it, and I know that he can talk about that. But we did have a coalition of homeowners in the West Valley and parts of Calabasas. These blackouts, basically we had a meeting and we were all able to agree that essentially, these blackouts cause electricity to be shut down, and then, you know, without electricity, the very basic human needs are not really attended to. This much we know. But my husband believes, Phil, there is a deeper issue, and those of us who live in what we call economically enriched prototype communities or economically enhanced prototype communities are hit harder. Most of us... most of what we have is powered by electricity. And
all right, when you say that you got together with Western Estates, Canyon Hills, and Vista Verdugo, you're all gated communities?
Well, we don't call ourselves gated, Phil. We call ourselves EHPCs, Economically Enhanced Prototype Communities, but we are behind gates. Most of our husbands, my husband Steve has a wildly successful landscaping business. Most of our husbands, I have a Lexus SUV. So we are on the outer edge of economic enhancement. And first off, unlike many homes, we keep our household accounts on computer.
Well, hold on for a minute. I just want to know, this meeting was Economically Enhanced Prototype Communities. And the comment that I heard you say is most of what you have is powered by electricity. So why did you have this meeting? Because of these rolling blackouts?
Because of the rolling blackouts, yeah.
Well, what was discussed?
Well, so most homes in gated communities, we keep our household accounts on computer. We bank on lines. Simple things like home security. I am able to raise my garage door by a remote control and then lower that door and enter my home. Without this, which of course is powered by electricity, I leave myself vulnerable to rape and robbery. I leave myself vulnerable to a sexual assault.
Okay, so you guys...
And again, Phil...
Well, how likely is that going to happen in a gated community that you're going to be vulnerable to rape and assault if you can't lower your garage door by remote control, you know?
Well, Phil, it's a good point, but we do have, even within... economically enhanced prototype communities or gated communities, as you call them. We do have delivery people, you know.
Okay, gardeners?
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Gardeners, service people, the warranty people. And for those of us who take advantage of the Pilates classes and the Taibo classes, the downside is that because I've been in Taibo for so long, I do have, my husband likes to say that my backyard, my rear end is raised about an inch, which makes us more desirable to a lot of the black delivery men. Those of us who live in an...
All right, wait a minute. Back up, because we're going too fast. You live in a gated community, you need electricity.
Mm-hmm, we do.
What about this thing you say most of your accounts are kept on computer?
Well, that makes us unique, Phil. Those of us who live in gated communities, economically enhanced communities, keep most of our household accounts on computers. Computers are those It looks like a television set, and you can enter in...
Yeah, I know what a computer is, okay?
Well, you can enter in information, and we keep that in our kitchen. We have a computer on our desk in our kitchen, and most kitchens in economically enhanced communities have desks in them, okay? So that,
well, that's great. So you have a computer there. And
yeah, but most families don't know that. So, and also, my sons all have computers. My husband keeps his accounts. If we lose our electricity, if the rolling blackouts hit economically enhanced prototype communities, we are in very serious trouble, Phil. We need power. And if we don't get power soon, everything my husband has worked for will fail. It is imperative that we get power first.
Okay, so now you're getting to the point of your meeting here that you feel you people who live in gated, economically enhanced prototype communities, in other words, people who live behind gates, right?
We don't really like to look at it that way.
But that's what you're saying, people who live behind gates.
We need to be able to access our finances on computer at any time, Phil. We need to have electricity at all times. It is imperative that we have power first.
All right, if you're proposing that you people who live in these economically enhanced gated communities have power first, where do you get that? And
well, Phil, I think it's a good question, but my husband believes that power can be diverted from states that do not have a high level of EHPCs. We're talking about Texas, Oregon, Florida. In Oregon.
Well, why those states? I mean, you're talking about...
Well, Texas, Phil, there's a lot of wind-blown adobe there. There's a lot of solar power, mason houses in Florida, wood-burning stoves in Oregon, all these places that don't need it. My sons have computers. My husband needs that. And really, that's what we're saying here. And that's why I'm on your program tonight, to let people know we live in a gated community. And while these rolling blackouts are bad for everyone, we live in a gated community, and my husband's accounts are on a computer. And my husband's...
I just add to that, Phil, I keep most of my business on a computer, and I live, you know...
Right.
Okay, I got the gist of that. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Bobby Dooley is making a pitch here, and I guess in the coming weeks and months, there are going to be a lot of people making a pitch to have electricity diverted to them during a power problem that the state of California is having, and it's affecting the rest of the country in terms of how this power is going to be provided to us. You are saying that people who live in gated communities...
So we do prefer economically enhanced prototype communities. And
all right, economically enhanced prototype communities. You live behind gates. You need the electricity... because without that electricity, you are not going to be able to power the...
Well, Phil, think about it. We live in a gated community, as you call it. Without electricity, the gates are not secured. Again, that leaves us vulnerable to rape and to rape. Our sprinkler systems for fire prevention, our convection ovens, all of our sub-zeros, most gated communities, such as the one that I live in, we have sub-zero refrigerators. We really like ours, don't we?
I love it, sub-zero.
And we have convection ovens. We just have a lot more in the way of electricity. And so we need that help from the state of California and from our neighbors. And
well, I want to be clear, because it sounds to me like you're asking your neighbors around you, whether they live in outlying communities.
We have microwaves as well.
A new microwave, yeah.
So we don't want to have to begin to access power from the surrounding communities by way of some kind of extension cord or some kind of a power line that we would run over there. We don't want to do it.
Well, now you're threatening to steal electricity from neighboring communities.
No, we're not threatening to steal. We are saying economically enhanced...
You're going to run some kind of a power line into somebody else's power box in neighboring communities outside your gates?
That is correct, yeah.
That sounds to me like stealing energy. I could have...
It's not really stealing energy, Phil, because because of economic enhancement, we need it more than the other people.
We feel we need it more than the other people. And
all right, 1-800-449-8686. Margaret, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I was just wondering,
mm-hmm.
if these people feel like they need the electricity so much more than other people,
mm-hmm.
why don't they get them a generator?
Generators generally run on gasoline, and it can be damaging to landscaping. It is also very damaging to concrete, especially we have a newly poured, we did some hardscape in our backyard. It's also very toxic, and certainly with children around, that's a consideration. So, and they're very loud. Generators are noise pollution, and they're very dirty for our environment. So those reasons rule out generators. Okay?
Well, that answers my question.
Thank you. I can't hear you. What did you say?
I'm sorry, I'm on a cell phone.
Yes, dear, what did you say?
If it got right down to it where you had to have electricity,
mm-hmm.
you think more of your lawn than you do your and your the racket and all than you do having electricity, right?
Well, it just seems to me that because our homes are a little bit more expensive. You live in Ontario?
No, I don't. I wouldn't live here at all. I live in Alabama.
Well, Alabama, I don't know what that is. I don't know how affluent people are there, but we have computers that need to be powered. I don't know.
Oh, everybody
mm-hmm.
where I live has computers.
Oh, they do in Alabama.
Okay,
mm-hmm,
we have
mm-hmm. All right, do you have... But I... What'd she say? It seems to me that in Alabama there are parts that don't have electricity. Am I right about that?
Yes, I think I'm losing you, and it's probably a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry? You think it's a good thing that you're losing me?
Yeah, I'm on a cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm
mm-hmm. I can't... Oh. She sounded very confused.
She from the South?
Yes, she was from Alabama.
She sounded really confused.
Yeah, she sounds... That's another thing, Phil. A lot of your Alabamians, this is going... They can give up electricity because there isn't a lot down there, I don't think, that needs powering. And,
well, wait a second. I mean, I've been through Alabama. They've got... Let's not go there, okay? I mean, what we're saying here is that...
It just seems to me that's a state we could borrow power from.
Well, maybe, but California's been but buying power from a lot of people. Monica, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi there. This
yes.
lady is just making
mm-hmm.
me nauseous.
Mm-hmm.
You're an elitist snob. You know, my
you know,
husband
calling
trades...
people names really doesn't solve
okay,
a problem.
Okay, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
My husband trades commodities.
Mm-hmm.
We have 7 computers that run in our home.
Mm-hmm.
We
mm-hmm.
understand how difficult it is for you in California.
Well, you know
because
something.
We are in Colorado,
if you
try your energy, ma'am.
You know what I would do if you were in Colorado? I keep an eye on your children and the guns they bring to school before you start telling the rest of us how to live.
What about Santee?
You know, that was 2 children shot.
You know what,
I believe
honey?
In Columbine, they shot
what?
Like 50 or 100,
yeah.
I forget
oh.
which.
Yeah, I think it was 400, wasn't
yeah.
it?
And you know what else, Monica? You're
yeah.
really angry that you're stuck in Colorado.
Oh, I
Next
am.
Next call.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. It's getting catty. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show. We have Bobby Dooley from Western Estates Homeowners Association and Western Estates, along with 2 other homeowners associations, Vista Verdugo and Canyon Hills, have petitioned the state of California for electricity. They feel because they live in a high-profile, economically enhanced community where they have a lot of computers in their kitchens and a lot of Lexuses in the driveway, they deserve electricity before anybody else. And I guess that, I hope I articulated that properly.
Well, you know, Phil, you make it sound as if we're doing something that is unfair. We are doing something that's ultimately fair because I think our community is an example for other communities. Economically enhanced gated communities are an example for other communities and other people on how to organize their communities. So we do need this electricity, and we're not really going to wait for it.
Because you're going to run a power line and start stealing it, aren't you?
You know, I don't like the use of the word steal.
Well, that's what you said you were going to do. Lola, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Yes.
I just want to ask this woman,
mm-hmm.
if you live in Beverly Hills
mm-hmm.
and you're not
mm-hmm.
in a gated community, do you
mm-hmm.
feel that those people deserve to have electricity also?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Beverly Hills is interesting because I know the Beverly Hills Police Department at times have blockaded a lot of the streets. And so I think when you have a police department that is that proactive,
okay, what
you
about
are
the people
like
that
in a gated
community.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What about the people that live in Brentwood?
Well, I don't know.
Okay, did you have a comment, ma'am, or just a lot of questions?
I just think it's absolutely absurd that she thinks she lives in a gated community, that she's privileged over other people.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you live in a gated community?
No, I don't.
Well, I'm
But
sorry.
I live in a very affluent
mm-hmm.
area.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Where, I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well,
there's, I'm no different than someone else in Compton that's going to lose their electricity.
People in Beverly Hills, first of all, do have gates on their property. They do gate their driveways. Do you gate your driveway?
No, I do not.
Okay, well, I don't know. I'm sorry.
You've got to be absolutely...
You know, you are not...
Are you telling me you're different than someone else that lives in East L.A.?
I'm saying that because we live in a gated community, we are a prototype for a future community so that many African Americans and other people know
you
how...
You have to be joking. Mm-hmm. You are saying that you're privileged over someone else in the You're not.
You live in West L.A. It is really not that affluent there. I don't know what your point is about that. What's so great about that?
My point is that you are no different than anybody else, and that we're all have to suffer through these rolling blackouts. It's something that the whole state of California has to work together on.
I have three sons that are going to finishing school. They all have computers. They do their computers.
So, lady, I have my whole business on computer.
Okay. My husband has a wildly successful landscaping business.
Oh, terrific. That's wonderful.
Well,
so that should make you special.
You know something? He keeps all of his... A computer you can use to store business on. Did you know that?
Yes, my business is on the computer. I don't want to have a rolling blackout either, but all I'm saying is
that
we are all created equal in this country. And
yes, we are, and we treat all the delivery people. I don't know what you're trying to say.
One thing you said was you want your garage door to go down in case some of the delivery people in your neighborhood rape you. Didn't you say that?
It is a risk. What do you do, Lala? Do you
have to be a writer for a TV show?
Does your garage door close?
Yes, it does. And I'm afraid of rape also, but I am afraid of rape also. I don't want to have a rolling blackout, but I don't think I'm any different.
Lala, I use my computer for more than Pong, all right?
Excuse me?
Well, I don't know what you do. Do you use Atari on your computer? What do you do?
I'm a writer for a TV show.
Did you go to ITT? ITT? Is that where?
You know what? Okay. You are so incredibly rude.
I don't know what you...
You are being very rude, and you won't let anybody finish.
Well, I don't know what she writes. She writes for the wrestling show?
Wow.
What do you write?
You know what? I am not even going to have this discussion with
you
anymore.
Really
you are
think...
the most...
You know something? I think you're jealous. I don't think you write for a television show.
I am so not jealous of you. You know what?
I need to hang up this phone because I am so disgusted by you.
I
live in a gated community, Lola. Someday it may be something that you can do. I'm sorry that you're angry. She hung up. I bet she writes for, I don't know what. What, Steve? What bad TV show does she write for? You know?
I bet you she writes for, like, Son of the Beach or something like that.
Well, that's a funny show.
Oh, that so sucks.
That's a funny show.
I bet you she writes for Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Yeah, what do you write on that show? And your question, or what is it? Is that your final answer? Ha, 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 ha.
You know, both of you people ought to die in a plane crash. You didn't even hear what I said, did you? Hold on. 1-800-44. You know, we're at the end of the hour. I'm tempted to hold this over. I don't know what we should do. 1-800-449-8686 is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. And to say that she deserves more electricity because she lives beyond a gated community, her kids need computers, and she needs to boot up her toothbrush. This is the Phil Hendry Show.